News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
You will recall that Ryanair flight that lost a window in flight and a passenger very nearly blown out of that window. Well, the NTSB has issued its preliminary report into what they believe caused that to happen. Kevin Byrne is with us, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor. Kevin, what is the NTSB saying?
Well, they're saying that it looks like a piece of the fan blade disintegrated, which is what I thought it might be the cause. But it looks as if there might have been some damage done to that by a bird strike, a bird ingestion, but they're still investigating that. So the aircraft then lost the blade. The blade disintegrated, punched a hole through the casing, and as we know, then punched a hole through the window, missing the passenger's head and burying itself in the upstairs luggage compartment. He was very lucky in one way, because the aircraft was only through 15,000 feet, which is the level of oxygen and air is half as dense as it is on the ground, and it was cruising and climbing at 250 knots or thereabouts. So it wasn't cruising at 30,000 feet and, you know, 500 knots or whatever. He would have been entirely squeezed out, as I call it, and that would have been very fatal. Then an explosive decompression, the masks fell down, the pilots, without thinking, put the nose down and got it to a safe altitude and then looked and switched off the engine that was damaged. So they were flying back on one engine. So it was lucky in one way, very unlucky in other ways, and the cause is now, you know, the damage will be looked at to confirm that it was a bird strike that did it and not a metallic fault in the fan blade itself.
And of course, there is precedent to establish just how lucky they were. A same model of aircraft, so yes. Southwest 737 out of LaGuardia to Dallas lost a passenger.
That's right, indeed. And that was at cruising altitude. And the unfortunate lady was more than half, you know, squeezed out. And she died fairly quickly from that point of view. So it was a very unfortunate accident. Just to put it in context, though, I was looking up some details. The CFM56 is used on the 737s,
that's the engine.
The Airbus. The engine, yeah, the 320s, the N340s, and a whole host of military aircraft. And it's still in production, which I'd forgotten about, and will be for the next 5 or 6 years, making P-8 Poseidon maritime patrol aircraft, which are based on the 737. So believe it or not, there are 23,000 of these engines in daily use. And even more unusual, I suppose you might call it, there are 20,000 cycles on average on the engine, each engine, before it's taken off the wing for a major overhaul. That's 9 years of daily service. So it is an exceptionally well-proven and popular turbofan engine on aircraft. So in that context, an accident like this is extremely rare, and we shouldn't be worried about the safety implications of it, I think.
Now, that being said, Kevin, in the design of those engines and all
yes.
high-bypass turbofans are predicated
yes.
on having cowlings that are meant to keep fan blades in the engine when this happens.
Yes. Yeah, I've looked at, I've been in, you know, the manufacturing and repair places of these things, and they show you the cowlings are made of Kevlar and all sorts of materials. Lightweight, yes, but very strong. But a modification was issued, a directive, as it were, from April of this year. There should be more, stronger ones fitted to the front of CFM56s. But it wasn't an emergency, because everybody using the aircraft type had until July of 2028, 2 years away, to do it. So that wouldn't be an urgency in any regard. So that'll be done perhaps more quickly than before. Containing the engine parts that do disintegrate in that rare occasion, they should be fired out the back of the engine and not sideways, where they could damage either the fuselage or the fuel tanks or people or whatever it might be. So I think that'll be looked at very carefully in the next couple of weeks or so.
And of course, that still leaves speculation about what caused the damage to the fan blade in the first place, because the speculation is either foreign object damage or bird strike. But again, these engines, they fire frozen chickens at them to make sure that they can take bird strikes.
Exactly the point. Bird hazards are a problem at every airport I've been at, and I've been at dozens, if not hundreds, in different parts of the world. You know, the airport operators go to great lengths to minimise the birds, but birds are very sharp and smart, and they're not too pushed by some of the stuff we do. Sucking the engine in, sucking the bird into the engine is tested, of course, before the airframe becomes licensed and all that kind of thing. But if there's a problem and the damage is that the aircraft, you know, has to shut down the engine, the pilots have shut it down and come back, they are designed to fly just in passing on one jet engine. So if you've got two, you've still got 50% of the power and more indeed. But they'll be looking at it very carefully. Is there a fault in that was exacerbated by striking a bird, if there is a bird in the first place? And is there a history of damage? But the engine itself in this case was tested as recently as May and nothing was found. So, you know, I think we just have to leave it to the experts. They will come up with a definitive conclusion. This is just one after about a month or so, and it's good news news, I think, generally speaking, although not good news for the unfortunate passenger who has suffered the injuries on takeoff. You know?
And of course, you talk about leaving it to the experts. The person who was unwilling to leave it to the experts was Michael O'Leary, because he theorised that it was foreign object damage sucked from something sucked off the runway on takeoff, and found his knuckles getting wrapped by the NTSB.
He did. In all these things, you're supposed to keep your thoughts to yourself until at least the first interim report is out, because the experts are looking at it. Has knock-on effects. If you've got 23,000 of these engines in service on a daily basis and there's a fault with them, we need to know pretty quickly, you know, what is the snag with it, and can it be repaired, and is there a problem? Should we issue a directive? It would have a huge implication on aviation generally if a fault was found with this particular type of engine and we had to make a modification, you know, in short notice. So Mr. O'Leary was told to keep his thoughts to himself in no uncertain terms.
And you gave us a sense of the CFM engine and how ubiquitous it is across the world. Presumably, yes, as well, the 737 in its various different forms is the workhorse of an awful lot of regional carriers around the entire planet, and therefore any incidents are significant globally.
It is, and you know, they're being used for not just short haul. I mean, I went between, I think, Malaysia and Australia on one. They're being used for longer and longer flights now. So we need reliable, solid engines that we can, you know, use 99.99% of the time. And that's what the CFM56 is. And its new version, that the Leap, is even more successful because it makes less noise and it is more fuel efficient. But if you look at the manufacturer's reports on the CFM56, which I say is still in small production, it's unmatched reliability, exceptional time on wing performance and fuel efficiency. So they're quite proud of it, and it would have a huge knock-on effect on literally hundreds of airlines in different parts of the world if there was a fault to be found now and repairs had to be done. But I don't think that is the case in this particular circumstance.
And lastly, Kevin, how sensitive will Ryanair be about this? Because, of course, there's absolutely no suggestion at this point that they had any role in what occurred, but they are very protective of their safety reputation, and they have always maintained that it's the one area where low cost doesn't apply.
And I'm with them in that regard. I did, in fairness, work for them for some time, you know, on that particular element, and they are extremely safe. Yes, you might not like some of the customer relations. They've left me high and dry as a customer when the flights were cancelled, and that's not good for morale, as you know, and I had to fight to get my money back off them. But in general, when it comes to flight safety, flight operations, all that kind of thing, I have no doubt that they're one of the safest in the world, because they can't afford not to be. They're literally carrying 200 million people. They've got 650 jets and they're flying to 220 odd airports or whatever. So they haven't had a fatality so far, and long may it continue. You've had a few incidents, of course. This is natural with the cost of, you know, running aircraft in that regard. But so far, their safety is of prime concern, and I'm in agreement with Mr. O'Leary in that regard. Safety first and profit second, I think, in that regard.
Kevin, thank you very much. That is Kevin Byrne, who's retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor. That is nearly it for us this morning. Don't forget, Claire Byrne's deep dive analysis of Donald Trump's head is on the way. There's a lot more in the show as well, but I think that's the bit that you may be most excited about. If there's anything on this program that you missed and you want to have a listen back, don't forget, you can go to newstalk.com. The guys are very good about getting all of our podcasts up quickly after the show. So if there's something that you missed, if you didn't get all the analysis on the Clacton by-election and you want to have a listen back, you can just go to newstalk.com and it'll be up there. Alternatively, you can use the Go Loud app if you're on your phone, or that is handier for you.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.